The date is November 18th, 2015. My name is Matthew Slizik, and I am here with David Peglow. And today he will be discussing his great-great-grandfather, William Miller.
Okay. So, well, again, we can use the story form as a way to help start off, I guess, our interview.
William Miller was born September 3rd, 1839, in Buffalo, New York. He joined the 1st New York Light Artillery Battery I, also known as Weidrick's Battery, on September 3rd, 1861. His engagements fought in the 2nd Manassas, and he fought at Gaines Mills, and he fought at Chancellorsville and Gettysburg. Later in 64, he joined up, his unit joined up with Sherman in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and formed the 20th Corps. Prior to, he was with the 11th Corps, and just to let you know. So if you look up his history, you'll find him in the 11th Corps with O.O. Howard, who was the commander.
Okay.
Just to let you know. In 64, he joined up with Sherman in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they started their campaign. There was three units within the campaign, one being, of course, the 1st New York Battery I. Do you want the other two?
Oh yeah, that's fine. Any and all information is good.
1st New York Light Artillery Battery M. They had six Napoleons. The Battery I had six 3-inch ordnance rifles. And 1st Ohio Battery C had six Napoleons.
Okay.
They followed Sherman to Atlanta and Savannah, and then they marched their way back up. Well, actually, they rode their way back up because they would ride on the cannons and the caissons, and they also had wagons for bringing their supplies. They had a series of different people within the unit that had a specialty. They had buglers, harness makers, farriers, blacksmiths, wagon makers to help them get along across the making a 60-mile cut through Georgia. That's how wide it was. And they made railroads into, they called them Sherman's bow ties. They heated the rails and put them in a knot. I'm not happy about it, but I can't change history. Because I'm pro-South, you know.
Yeah.
So they marched up through the Carolinas. They went through Columbia. And they also went through the Carolinas, and they came through they didn't do the cavalry one that's in Fort Bragg. What do you know the name of that one?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Anyway, they didn't do that one in the middle of Fort Bragg. They were in Fayetteville, but they had a little trouble getting here since the Clarendon Bridge got burned by Hampton, and they had to use their engineers to make pontoon boats to get their cannons and equipment across the Cape Fear River. I know they went a little further downriver to cross, but I can't tell you where. Nobody wrote me down a town. Once they were in Fayetteville, they did fire shots in Fayetteville. Don't know where, can't okay. help you. But they did fire 142 rounds in the city of Fayetteville. Next they were at Averysboro, and we all know General Hardee, William Hardee, won the day. It was kind of our last victory in North Carolina. They have a monument at Averysboro. They fired at the William Smith House, and several they found several of the shells around the house when they moved it across the street.
Right.
And they found 3-inch ordnance shells. It's been stated that my grandfather was across the street shooting at the house.
Oh, really? Wow.
And I will get you more information on the house.
Oh, yes, of course.
I have pictures of it, and I was there in the parlor for the 150th. While I'm thinking, while I'm doing I'm talking about Confederate and Yankee currency. And 150 years ago, my great-grandfather was shooting at this house. And they've got holes in the house from 3-inch ordnance shell. It went through a bed, they've got the headboard,
right.
And it went right out through the house. They couldn't tell you which shell it was, but they had a lot of them in the yard. And then they were at Bentonville. And then they, after March 15th and 16th, they started going up. They were in Goldsboro, and they were in Raleigh. And they were there to hear that the Abraham Lincoln was killed. And it was 2 days later, they had heard that Lee surrendered at Appomattox, so they just kept going up. They went up through Richmond. They were heading for Washington for May 24th for the Grand March. So they were heading that way. And so after the war, they brought their equipment to Chemung, Chemung, New York, which is outside of Elmira. It was also the prison camp for the Confederacy. The Confederates buried there are 2,993. Oh, by the way, I have it written on the back blackboard in the back of my head. But there today, there was 518 POWs that were sent from Fort Fisher. They sent the two officers, the general, Whiting. He was sent to Fort Columbus, and so was Colonel Lamb, was sent to Fort Columbus in the New York Harbor. Of course, Whiting died, and he's buried here in Wilmington. And of the troops, of the 516 men, they sent half to Point Delaware and the other half to Elmira. And within the first 3 months of the winter in New York, many have perished. There's 19 from the 36th North Carolina, better known as Brady's Battery, BRADDY. They were out of Cumberland County and Fayetteville and Bladen County and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I don't know where I'm going anymore. You've got to help me along. Once in a while, I'll drift.
No, that's fine. I mean, you're giving a so far, you've given me a general history, and which is really good, and which has really helped with the outline of, I guess, the story and everything like that. I guess to help you with your story, I guess I could ask, do you have any Do you have any idea of what your great-great-grandfather went through in the sense of, like, what do you think he, I guess, felt? Do you have any, like, diary collections of, or anything like that?
Unfortunately, no. They didn't, you know, when I was growing up, they told me, oh, you had a relative that died at Gettysburg. Okay. Can we be more explicit? Yeah, he was with Weidrick's Battery. So I started my research back in the 80s. And I said, well, there's no Millers that died at Gettysburg. So can you be more explicit? Was it, was he married and had, he was never married. Hmm. But he did have a son, so I don't exactly know. Maybe she died early.
Yeah, that could be it, yeah.
But he didn't have a wife for a long time. His son was born in 1880, so for 20 years, I don't know his history.
Right.
I've known of about him, about the old man that lived with my grandfather. That's how it was explained to me.
Right.
So he died, he gave the book to my mother in, I think, 1922, so he only made it a couple more years. He was 86 when he gave her the book, so he died
book
at 89.
The Bible that you showed me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have his original one, but I have the one that they gave him in 1916.
Okay.
And he used to use it to bury the soldiers from the Grand Army of the Republic, the Union Army. And he even buried his commander, Michael J. Weidrick, in 1899.
Okay.
And he's buried in Buffalo in Forest Lawn Cemetery. Most of Weidrick's Battery were Lutherans, and they chose to be buried in St. John's Lutheran Cemetery on Pine Ridge Drive in Cheektowaga, Cheektowaga, and that's how you spell Cheektowaga. Yeah, after the war, he was a chaplain, and then he worked for Kittinger Furniture in Buffalo, New York. They made furniture and cabinets, and they were very craftsmen. I have some of his planes that he used with the fancy curves that I forgot to bring. But if you want to see them, I still have his wooden plane, some of them.
Oh, really?
My father burned a lot of them.
Oh.
Because, you know, but he saved the blades, which, big deal. But I've got two or three of his planes.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And I've got the blades. I've got some little odds and ends of little specialty tools that he used and whatnot. But the planes, the blade has like a wedge in it, or kind of like they could have cut like a groove while they were going down the edge.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I think we have a decent amount of information. I mean, you gave me, you know, a little bit of a prefix and everything like that. You gave me a chronological story, a general history, and you've gone to, you know, as much information that you know of, about your great-great-grandfather. I mean, this is definitely sufficient information, and this is definitely good information. It's, do you know, okay, and you mentioned pretty much what he did after the war and everything like that, so.
He made, I don't have it, but he made a German castle out of all little pieces of wood, like you'd make a jigsaw puzzle.
Right, right.
But his little castle, I guess, was about this big and this big. And it took up 10 bushel baskets.
Really?
Yeah, it had turrets and flags and everything on it. But my mother didn't know what to do with it, so they just left it in the attic when they left 34 Sattler. He lived in Sattler Avenue in Buffalo, New York. 34 was the number. They also left a picture of my grandfather in his Spanish-American War uniform. They had a great big mural made of him, and they left that in the attic, too. I said, why didn't you bring that home?
Yeah, it's sometimes the older generations, they just don't think about it. They just...
Mm-hmm. I went through enough junk shops and crap through Buffalo, hoping to find somebody that had saved the picture.
Right.
Because I would have liked to seen it. And I had the chance. I went to West Point in 2009, and they had living historians out there with their trucks from the Spanish-American War, and they were dressed in the Spanish-American War uniform.
Wow. Okay.
And then I could get a better idea of what he looked like.
See, and it's just a shame because a lot of people just don't understand the importance of
you know,
keeping these artifacts and everything like that, preserving. And I mean, that's one reason why we're doing this, is so we can preserve, you know, what is left, because people just, off the top of their heads, they just, you know, they think of the current, they just think about themselves and what's going on, and you have that issue sometimes. And
I will send you information of Viva the emails, and I will keep you, like, if I find something that I can keep your story going.
Excellent.
I'll send
okay.
it to you.
Excellent.
I have your email address.
Yeah, we can definitely do that, and then I can forward it to David Winslow and the rest of my colleagues and everything like that, so we can get it saved.
There you go, First New York Light Artillery Battery I. That's my car. What was underneath that thing was 51st Avenue, Franklinville, New York, 14737.
Right.
But my daughter thought it would be, you can tell I shake and I rock and everything, and I stutter and stammer. I have the 11 years of Alzheimer's.
Right.
And so I try to do the best I can.
Oh, yeah, that's completely understandable.
So I thought, well, I live at 5406 Maryland Drive in Fayetteville. I'm over by Methodist College.
Okay.
University now.
All right, excellent.
It runs off of Hampton. If you drove down Stacy Weaver, first street you hit was Arbor on the right, and then the next street down is Hampton. You hang a right on Hampton, a left on Kenwood, and a right on Maryland.
Excellent, excellent. So yeah, I'll send you my email.
I have one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a database for the Cape Fear, so just kind of send you an email just to say that, hey, you know.
I might have sent you some crap along the line. You get anything you get from Levi's Battery, generally there's a lot of history I have.
Okay.
And I fired it to you because I know you're a historian as well.
I haven't been able to check my email lately, but yeah, definitely.
I sent you something on Jefferson and the battle at Tripoli.
Okay. I don't think I remember that, but yeah, it's been a while. I've been so busy with my schoolwork lately. I just haven't really had the time. So, but yeah, I think we're done for the most part with the interview. I mean, we got all the information. We have all the information that we have so far. We also have some additional items which I will take photos of. We have, what is this, the register?
Registrar? Yeah, that's a register.
Okay. The registrar. We have William Miller's Bible. And we also have some medals and little trinkets that we have that we'll all send over through email and everything like that. So, and that concludes our interview. Yeah, definitely.